War Eagle, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Second Takes Podcast. Chris here, and with me, as always, is Ben, my wonderful co-host. We'll get to him just in a moment. Do notice that you can find us on some of, on our great sponsor, War Eagle Sports Radio. Also find us on Podomatic. We're on Twitter, at Second Takes. Just a few of the places that you can get a hold of us. Ben, welcome into the show. How are you doing this week, my brother?
I'm doing Peachy Keen.
Good deal. So, anything going on? Anything off the top that just sitting on your brain?
I've learned today I hate shoe shopping. Does that count for anything?
I suppose so. You had to do a little shoe shopping today?
Yeah, for work. Okay. It's stupid.
Gotcha. Our special guest this week, we are privileged to have Wesley Siner joining us from AL.com. Wesley, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me.
Do you prefer Wesley or Wes?
I usually go by Wes, but Wesley's kind of my print name, if you will.
Okay. All right.
But you can call me Wes.
Good deal. Just want you to be comfortable. So, well, our first segment of the night, as always, we get into what we call the Roberts Recruiting Report, or as we call it, the Cube. And yeah, let's not do the sound effect.
My phone's away.
There you go. Wes, one of the reasons that we wanted to get you on our podcast was to talk some recruiting. I know I follow you and many other people in your articles, especially there at AL.com as you guys post them up. And we wanted to ask you some questions and see what your thoughts were. Sure. We talked last week about some top prospects that were going to be visiting the Auburn and LSU game. What did you hear from them as far as their experience of the game?
As far as their experience, I think that they were all pretty impressed. I mean, this was the first, big time night game at Jordan-Hare. A few prospects had been coming in this season. I know that a bunch of them were there for the Arkansas game, and a few other ones for Louisiana Tech and San Jose State. But this was really the first like big time game against a ranked team. So I think everybody was seemed to be pretty impressed with the atmosphere and that kind of thing.
Awesome. Any particular tweets or comments that may just like maybe popped out as you were reading them or checking through them?
I know that Jeffrey Holland, he's a linebacker out of Jacksonville, Florida. He was able to meet Bo Jackson and Charles Barkley and Pat Dye. He was on an official visit, so I remember seeing one of his tweets that was just like, "I just met Pat Dye," like in full capital letters. So I know that his uncle played basketball at Auburn in the 1980s with Charles Barkley, and so he has kind of an interesting connection to the school through Charles Barkley. And so, yeah.
Well, talk about rolling out the red carpet, getting to meet those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of one of the bigger guys that are left on the board in terms of Auburn's prospects. He's kind of torn between Auburn and Florida, and now UCLA has kind of come into the mix. I know that he wants to wait and see what happens with Florida and if they end up making a coaching change. If they do that, then he's probably not going to end up at Florida. But like I said, he's one of the top dogs that they're after right now, so they definitely went all out with his official visit.
Well, speaking of those top dogs, outside of maybe Jeffrey Holland, who do you think is the number one get that Gus and the guys are really looking at and that they want to go ahead and check them off?
I think that Maurice Swain, the defensive tackle from Mississippi Gulf Coast. If I had to say, one guy is going to be the next to commit to Auburn, I would say it's probably him. He's planning two or three more visits before making his decision. I know he wants to go to Oregon, and then I believe Mississippi State, maybe Kentucky. He's still kind of looking at some other schools, but Auburn, is his number one school, and that's his leader. And as of right now, the Tigers only have one commit on the defensive line for this class. So adding him would definitely fill a need for this upcoming class.
All right. Yeah, and I think we've done pretty well going down there to that particular, I guess, community college or junior college, Mississippi Gulf
right.
Coast.
Yeah, MGCCC.
Yes, that's the long.
I know that Yeah, he's got two former teammates from Mississippi Gulf Coast, Derek Moncrief and Duke Williams, played with them last year. And then two of his current teammates, Jason Smith and Tony Bridges, Smith being a quarterback and Tony Bridges a defensive back, they're both committed to Auburn. And so it's kind of a little pipeline that Auburn has going with that school.
Good deal. Well, have you seen any movements, maybe up or down, coming off of the Auburn LSU game? Is you said that a lot of them were impressed, you know, with the atmosphere and the game and everything. Has anybody really stepped up and said, you know, I'm moving Auburn up on my list, down on my list, just based on what you've heard lately?
Kirk Merritt, he's a all-purpose back out of Louisiana. It was pretty much between Texas A&M and Oregon for him coming into that visit. But like I said, he also took an official visit, and I know he's really impressed with Tiger Walk and just the whole atmosphere at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So he's saying that Auburn is now in there with A&M and Oregon, which was kind of a surprise, just because, you know, I didn't really think that Auburn, you know, had a shot at him. But yeah, I mean, he's Auburn definitely moved up in his book. And then John Burt is another one, four-star receiver from Tallahassee. He's committed to Texas right now. And he came down for an official visit, and I kind of got him that, you know, the situation at Texas right now with Charlie Strong, they're kind of drunk. I think he's a little bit concerned about that. But he's really open with everything. You know, Todd, I think that he's definitely interested in Auburn. When he committed to Texas, Auburn was his number two school, and I believe State was number three. But now he's basically in Texas and Auburn he's considering. So we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, no, he would be a welcome addition on the offensive side. And as far as the other guy that you mentioned, that's the first I'd heard of it as well. And it sounds like that would be a good one to add to the class.
Yeah, I mean, but either one of those guys. I mean, Kirk Merritt is you know, considered a five-star prospect, depending on which recruiting service you look at. John Burt's a four-star. You know, those are definitely some playmakers that will be effective wherever they end up.
Right. One of the other things I actually wanted to talk about, Jason Smith, reading an article that you wrote, as a matter of fact, and talk to us a little bit about what he had to say about Nick Marshall, saying that he thought he would bring something either similar to the table or maybe a little bit better passer than Nick Marshall. And I know that he's probably looking forward to getting in, I think, in January and seeing if he can compete for that starting job.
He is. And the interesting thing, I mean, when he was in high school, he was a great quarterback at McGill Toolin down in Mobile. But just based on the players that Auburn already had, the consensus around Smith was that he would probably be moved to like a slot receiver. But every time I've talked to him, he said that Gus Malzahn wants to give him a shot at quarterback first to see how he competes. I think that most people believe that Jeremy Johnson will be the guy next year, but Smith is very confident, and he's looking forward to competing for that starting job. Like I said, if that doesn't work out, he might switch positions. But yeah, I mean, he said that he had a little bit more to bring to the table than Nick Marshall. I know that Smith is off to a great season right now for Mississippi Gulf Coast, same school that Maurice Swain is from. You know, this is his first year. In college, he was a redshirt last year at Mississippi Gulf Coast. But, I mean, yeah, he's doing really well this year, and it's interesting to see where he's going to end up playing. The other thing is he's kind of got some legal issues that we're still actually looking into and trying to get the word on that. But he was arrested in March and charged with marijuana possession and eluding police. And so... I know that Malzahn wants to kind of wait and see how all that plays out before he changes anything in terms of his status with Auburn. So it's kind of up in the air right now with Smith.
Well, I tell you, yeah, and that kind of attitude, I guess, with that Malzahn has and those kind of issues. I know I appreciate him, you know, not wanting to rush before we see everything that happens, and then making a judgment on that.
Right.
But I tell you, just looking at some of the numbers that you'd posted in the article there, yeah, I don't see a reason why not to give him a shot at quarterback. You know, I think you had there 70% on his passes for almost 1,000 yards. And then he's got almost 300 yards on the ground. Yeah, give him a look at least.
Yeah, I mean, 20 touchdowns. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's been very accurate. He's kind of more the size that Nick Marshall is. I mean, Jeremy Johnson's like 6'6" at the point. Jason Smith is about Marshall's size. He's 6'1", 185. Depending on, how Jeremy's offseason goes, we'll see what happens. You also got to consider some of the other quarterbacks that are in the mix, too. I mean, they've got Sean White already signed to the 2014 class, and you have North Cobb quarterback Tyler Queen. He's in the 2015 class. He's kind of a pocket passer. So I'm curious to see how Auburn utilizes all these different quarterbacks, because they do have kind of a good mix of players and guys that can do different things with the ball. It'll be interesting. Personally, I think it's going to be Jeremy Johnson for the next 2 years, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think, you could be okay with giving Jason a look, but yeah, it's going to be awfully hard to unseat Jeremy. I think already being right in the system, already mm-hmm. has as we can see, an excellent grasp on what they want him to do and what he can do. And before we wrap up this segment, I want to get your thoughts on something that, literally just hit the wire a little bit before we were started tonight, and that is Todd Gurley suspended for some NCAA violations. Wes, is there anything that you know of that you've been able to see that could shed some light on what's going on there?
I don't know too much about it. I've seen the story. I believe that they're investigating whether he, I guess, sold some autographs for money. We're still kind of looking into it right now. Sports Illustrated is actually reporting that Gurley got $400 for 80 items. I'm not sure where they came up with those numbers, but this is obviously a big deal, and I don't know. He's indefinitely suspended right now, so we'll see how long he has to sit out. But they got that big game this weekend against Missouri, and if he's out for that game, that could be a major boost for Missouri in terms of their the race for the SEC East title.
I feel like he got gypped. I'm just going to be honest with you.
He got gypped?
Yeah. What, $400 for 80 items? If you're going to get
That's just the first thing that they've found. I think it's a continuing investigation. And like I said, that's something that Sports Illustrated reported. I think the NCAA is still ongoing investigation. But so far, that's the first thing that I've seen.
Well, if you're gonna get busted for something, go big with it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, and
yeah, we'll see what the NCAA is able to find.
Right. Well, regardless, if he's out for one game or maybe the rest of the season, this is an SEC East shake up the race kind of thing. We've seen what he's been able to do against a pretty good opponent so far. And if he's not available as that maybe go-to guy, it's got to be a little disconcerting over in Georgia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And not to mention he's also, probably number one on a lot of people's Heisman ballots right now. Yeah, that the East race is so crazy to me. It doesn't really seem like there's a clear, one or two teams that really are going to fight for it. It's just, they're beating each other up over there.
Right. Ben and I were talking about, I'm not going to write off Kentucky the way that they've been pulling things out here lately.
No, you can't. They're sitting at 4-1 right now. Only lost one conference game, and that went to overtime. So
right, that game
you never know. Them and,
go ahead, Wes.
Oh, I'm just saying, you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, I don't think anybody predicted Kentucky would win four of their first five games, but you know, we'll see what happens. It's a pretty interesting race over there.
Yeah, if they both make it through this weekend, you know, that game between Missouri and Kentucky, you know, we might be watching somebody play for the East.
Right.
Well, guys, that's gonna do it for theCUBE, our first segment. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back with our second segment of the evening. Be right back, guys. Welcome back, everybody. Getting into our next segment. Wes is going to hang in there with us for a few more minutes. We're going to do a quick review of the LSU game. And, guys, I just want to start. Wes, we'll start with you. Just what your general thoughts about the game were.
Oh, I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting quite a performance like that by Auburn. I mean, I know that obviously Brandon Harris, LSU's freshman quarterback, that was a lot to ask of him to go into a hostile environment, you know, on the road at night and try to win a conference game. That was putting him in a really tough spot. So obviously that didn't work out really well, but I've just been really impressed with Auburn's defense. I think that they've put about two or three pretty impressive performances together this season. I was shocked. I mean, I thought it was going to be a 10-point game. I think I picked Auburn to win 31-21. So, you know, I like I said, I think it's encouraging after watching the defense and what they were able to do. And then, I mean, the offense was just unstoppable. But, you know, you gotta assume at this point, now that LSU's lost to Mississippi State at home and then got blown out by Auburn, I don't think they're really going to have a very good season. So, you know, it's you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt, I think.
Right, yeah, they I knew when they announced they were going to start the freshman, you know, his first road game in a hostile environment. I know they talk a lot about Death Valley, but Jordan-Hare Stadium on a Saturday night with that raucous crowd is an awfully tough place to start.
Oh, and, absolutely. You know, it was very, very loud, and, I mean, I don't see how it's really, you know, that much tougher to play at LSU or to play at Alabama. I mean, Auburn's got a pretty decent sized stadium and they can make it very difficult for opposing teams trying to come in, especially during a night game. I think everybody kind of gets a little more pumped up and loud for night games. And I know that it was super loud in the first half, but then after they pulled away, I think it started to die off a little bit.
Right. Ben, just your general thoughts, first reactions to the game.
I was happy. In general, I mean, yeah, it was a lot to ask of Brandon Harris for that type of situation. But at the same time, we don't run away with the score without some form of execution. That's what I've been preaching for the past week or two, not more.
Right.
But, yeah, that's what I've been wanting to see, really. And as long as that continues, because Nick Marshall seems to finally be really heating up, I think. And as long as we continue like that Saturday, I'll be happy.
Well, I was happy to see my keys of the game come into play. I said, Wes, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but I said that third downs were going to be huge for us in both being able to get off the field and being able to, keep our drives going on third down. And I think I saw somewhere that LSU was 0 for 13 on third downs. And that from the defensive standpoint is getting the job done. The other part of it was I heard this stat earlier. Apparently, in the SEC games, Auburn's defense has allowed 2 for 24 on third down conversions, and that's pretty good against some pretty good competition. So, I'm with Ben. You know, overall, I was pretty happy for most of the game, and it was nice to see us put away a rival in a big SEC West contest. So did pretty well there. Wes, I know that you were on a tight schedule. Ben and I are going to come back and talk a little bit more in depth about this, but if you will, we'll go ahead and let you bow out. Any final remarks, shameless plugs, how people can get a hold of you, those sorts of things.
Okay. I'm on Twitter, Wesley Siner. We also do something called the Five Star Super Show, which is a kind of a comedy recruiting web series that we've been doing on AL.com. And I think that's something unique that we've been putting out. So, you know, go and check that out. And obviously we're going to have full coverage from Starkville this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I'll tell our listeners and Ben, who kind of gave a strange look on the Five Star Super Show, you need to check that out. That is hilarious.
Yeah, we've done 15 episodes at this point. They're about 3 or 4 minutes long. And we just combine comedy with recruiting coverage, and we kind of poke fun at public access news a little bit and kind of make it look a little cheesy with some corny jokes and that kind of thing. So we'll have a new episode next week, and that'll be episode 16. So we're looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, Wes, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us, spending a little bit of time with us. And if you are headed over to Starkville, be careful. Have a good time.
I will. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Okay, here we go. So, Ben, it was great having Wes with us, but we're going to go a little bit more in depth on our thoughts on the LSU game offensively, defensively. Some really great plays and players that came out really in that 41-7 blowout win over LSU. Offensively, who really shone to you and your thoughts on how Auburn played offensively?
Well, right off the bat, Sammy Coates is finally playing like Sammy Coates. First touchdown of the game, we watched the game together. I was giddy through that entire thing. And yes, there were some previous events leading up to my giddiness before that game kicked off. But as far as the game itself goes, seeing Sammy Coates doing what he needed to do, and as I said a few minutes ago, I was just so happy with the execution. I was so happy they were playing. I feel like this was the Auburn team we've been wanting to see all season. And don't get me wrong, that's not saying they have been playing well, and maybe we are spoiled. But at the same time, there was nothing to complain about, really, for me. Being a little hardcore, I would say I'm miffed at the one touchdown allowed. But other than that, I can't think of anything to really just complain about.
Well, you know, offensively, yeah, you know, it seemed like the team hit their stride early and often, and they were just, just a team on a mission, it almost seemed like at times. And great catches, you know, all the way around, people making plays, good runs by Nick Marshall on the read option. And, Cameron Artis paying again and right there at the end of the game, you know, Corey Grant putting it away,
mm-hmm.
you know, just, I, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know that there's too much that I can complain about offensively. And, if I have to go player of the game, I'm probably going to give it to Nick Marshall. Just his decision making and the things that he was able to do in the read option game and making the checks at the line. Checking down a couple of times, we saw this, and I think even commented on it as we were watching the game together Saturday. Just checking down and just taking, Cameron Artis Payne on a little check down, mm-hmm. you know, they get you 15 yards here and there. You know, it just good decision making.
Not only that, but let's think about this. When's the last time, if ever, you got to see the backups go in against LSU? And not because of injury or anything, just because we had the cushion. I can't think of a time that's ever happened.
Right. You know, I mean, when was the last time that Auburn looked like the fastest guy on the field, the fastest team on the field mm-hmm. between LSU and Auburn? You know, in the past few years, it's always looked like LSU was a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, but this was just a from opening kickoff till the clock went triple zeros. Yeah, it was all Auburn.
All Auburn, all the way. The true Tigers showed. That's all I can say. I mean, again, there's nothing I can really nitpick at. I mean, they play that way or even stronger. Even Malzahn's like, well, hey, we can still do it better. I'm like, okay, show me. Because, you know, that next week will be the real game. And I know, yes, we said it 1,000 times, LSU, blah, 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 whatever. That is, they were ranked before this game.
Right. Well, yeah, and, you know, you can't play them, you can't play them based on where they finished the year at. You have mm-hmm. to play them at what the, you know, where they're at in the rankings at that point. Let's, you know, switch over to defense. I mean, a lot to talk about it as far as defense. I already mentioned the 0 for 13 on third downs. Mm-hmm. You know, that can't be overlooked. I mean, it is hard to shut somebody out 13 times on third down conversions. It was almost like we just would not let them move the ball.
Not only did not let them move the ball, we refused to let them move the ball. Like, the biggest gains, I noticed that there was a consistent pattern I saw in LSU's possessions in which the most yardage we would allow would be on first down. It would be a run play, usually. Somewhere between the range of 4 to 7 yards, something like that. Well, then all of a sudden, just done, shut down. No, slap you, stop hitting yourself. That's what it became. Yay.
Well, you know, to me, it looked like, you know, when they would do the camera shots overlooking at Les Miles, it almost seemed like they came in with this game plan that they were going to do what they did last year, hit us in the mouth, see what we did. And when we were able to stand up and stop them, you know, at one point I even saw him just kind of shrug like, well, I don't know what to do now. Mm-hmm.
He, you know what his facial expressions reminded me of? 2014 Steve Spurrier.
You think
I saw a lot of facial similarities between those two.
Just, I have no idea what to do now.
Just, dag nabbit, don't know what to do. This grass can only be chewed up so much. I mean, that's what I saw.
Right. I mean, it was just, you know, and I would single out, you know, a player or a play or anything like that defensively. But to me, it was just, 11 guys.
Yeah.
That everybody doing their assignment.
That's all it was. Now, the only discrepancy I would have is some. And that's, I'm at the officiating for the whole targeting thing. That was bullcrap.
Well, the Nick Ruffin call, you know.
He was, got the receiver was in play. You can tell Ruffin was turning with his, to lead with his shoulder and was trying to apply the brakes. I don't like it. I can't do anything about it. I could write someone a strongly worded letter. But I just think, I've had a problem with the targeting rule since it was introduced, and that was a perfect example of it. And I get it; we're trying to protect the players, but they're grown men running at each other at full speed. It's going to happen, okay? If you don't know what you're getting into, I'm sorry, your mom or somebody lied to you. But it's getting out of hand. I just want I don't get it. If he hit him hard back in like the 70s or the 80s, that would have been just, you know, the highlight of the week. Just a hard hit. Like, your local sportscaster is going to replay that over and over and say whammy every time.
Well, and maybe not even the highlight of the week. That had just been another football play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just, and I'm with you. I haven't liked the rule since it was introduced. And for this very reason, I think it keeps people from just being able to play football. You know, if you're a defensive back, you see the wide receiver making a play for the ball. You know, you're all of a sudden looking at his body position, and you've got to think, you know, I've got to get below his shoulders, and I can't lead with my head. And now all of a sudden he's making a play on the ball. His body angle changes. Now am I in the right position? And you know, you wind up having to think maybe too much rather than just going out and playing football.
Really, the best way for people to understand what I'm feeling with this, watch the South Park episode, Sarcastaball. That'll sum it up for me.
All right. We're going to take one more break right here and come back with our third and final segment, the Mississippi State preview, and I have a feeling you're probably going to want to hang on for that one, so we'll be right back. All right, we are back with our third and final segment of the night, our Mississippi State preview, and Ben, your initial thoughts, number two versus number three, is it worth the hype? I mean, you know, we're going into Starkville against a team that traditionally plays us pretty well, pretty hard.
I say as it stands right now, because here's the thing. People that their teams who had lost this weekend or at Ole Miss, whatnot, they're just sitting there going, well, like, our season's still going. Here's the thing. Even in Auburn's best season, Mississippi State, sometimes it is a barely win because it's always a big, good game, no matter where they are. And as such, I like to think this game, I fully believe as it stands right now, this game determines the SEC West. I fully believe that. Mississippi State is the biggest and strongest I've ever seen them, easily. So in terms of playing it, is it worth the hype? Yeah, it's worth the hype.
You're going to watch it. I guarantee you're going to watch it. You may not cheer for either team. You're going to watch it because you know the implications of this game. You're going to watch it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, again, this is just like last Saturday, you know, again, this is a national audience. A lot of people are going to be tuning in that aren't Auburn fans, aren't Mississippi State fans. People are going to be watching. I think another chance for Auburn to come out there and make another statement, let people know, you know, hey, we're not going away. The LSU thing wasn't an aberration. You know, it wasn't just a one-night thing. We can do this week in and week out. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about a team that's won 17 of their last 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Auburn's, you know, deserves to be at the top because, you know, they've earned their way going up there. I think it's going to be a little bit different game as we get into keys to victory and the score predictions. I think it's going to be a little bit different game than what most people think. And moving into that, Ben, what are the keys to an Auburn victory on this game?
They're simplistic and yet not. They're easier said than done. Number one, this is what a lot of people are going to say: you got to stop Dak Prescott. I don't think he's like superhuman being quarterback, but he is an excellent quarterback, and he's showing he's proven his mettle this year. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. He's showing what he can do. He's finding holes to run. He's throwing. He's passing. He's doing what he needs to do. However, Auburn's used to that kind of quarterback because we've had them. So if anybody can figure out how to stop a quarterback like that, it's Auburn. They shut him down, and now that's on the field. However, just off the field, you've got to learn how to eliminate outside noise, i.e., those freaking cowbells. God dang. Here's the thing, and Sammy Cozart was already interviewed about it. And he said, "I hate them bells." That's a quote, and I don't blame him. Now, here's the thing, though. I love this response to it because Auburn fans who were going to the game said, okay, well, up your nose with a rubber hose, we're going to bring our own cowbells. And so as a result, I think it was the athletic director from Mississippi State sent a letter to the students and fans and said, here's the proper times to ring the cowbells, which, by the way, kind of incriminates yourself since the NCAA said, by the way, those aren't allowed at the games. So good job, you. So I like how instead of complaining about it, we're just going to adapt. That's awesome. Those are the biggest things I can think of, because defensively, we stand strong, awesome. Offensively, you continue your execution. Ball protection, of course, got to have security. As long as defense also can create some turnovers, which they can do, I see this game being well in hand. I think it'll still be close, but it'll be well in hand.
Well, my key to victory is something very simple: 250 rushing yards at least. Now, the reason that I say that is a lot has been made out of Mississippi State's ability to shut us down last year to the tune of 120 rushing yards. Now, I think a lot of people have forgotten this was game three of last year, and we know that the offense didn't really get tuned up until the second half of LSU in the rain down in Baton Rouge. So here's what I say. We didn't know what we were just yet, and we were still trying to figure out the offense. Yeah, they kept us to 120 yards rushing. I was at that game. You know, we had, you know, somewhat control of that game, you know, in a few. Yeah, Dak Prescott, I think, threw us a few curveballs we weren't expecting. Maybe the quarterback draw up the middle, so we had some big runs, made it look a little bit better than what it was. I'm looking for us to be at that 250 or above mark. I think if we do that, we probably control the game. And have it, you know, and like I said, I'll get into my score prediction but a little bit later, but I think if we have 250 rushing yards, the defense, the things that you've talked about apply, you know, we're probably going to be enjoying this game.
Well, it's something they should keep in mind. Last year, Auburn at that time was like Bruce Lee during the Green Hornet. He wasn't Bruce Lee yet, okay? That wasn't until Enter the Dragon came out, and last year after LSU was when Enter the Dragon came out for Auburn. Okay, now we're at Return of the Dragon. We're going to rip Chuck Norris's chest hair out. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the stinking movies, Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris. Anyway, that's exactly what I mean. If Bruce Lee wasn't Bruce Lee back then, Auburn wasn't Auburn back then. Pure and simple. It's a completely different world. It's a different realm. It's a different play style, really. Well, I say it's play style. In terms of execution, it's different and it's more effective.
Right. We are getting to that place where you and I talked about before the season started, when we started looking at the offense and we said, you know, we've got all these weapons and all these pieces. How in the world do you defend them all? Well, we've seen glimpses of that throughout the year, especially last week against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw a lot of offensive pieces at work there in a lot of different ways, and LSU had no answer.
No.
Typically, a really good defense didn't have an answer. We know that Mississippi State's secondary is suspect.
Yes.
So, again, this may be a game where we see Auburn come out, throw early and often, kind of like what they did against LSU. That defense has to relax a little bit around the line of scrimmage, back some people off the line of scrimmage. Well, then I think that's where my 250 rushing yards come in, because you know Gus, as soon as he sees those linebackers, those safeties and everything kind of bail out of the box, we're read option. And we're going to run, and we're going to go pace, and you know that's when we usually rack up a lot of yards.
Yeah, it'll happen. Just watch.
So something that, again, almost kind of like the Gurley thing that we talked about before, that just has kind of taken over Twitter, and you talked about it a little bit. Are you a fan of taking the cowbells from Auburn to Starkville? Or, you think that's something that maybe we shouldn't do? Let them have their cowbells?
Here's the thing. Cause the NCAA is very strange when it comes to enforcing rules. They said, don't bring them cowbells. However, they do it anyway. And admittedly, it's not like somebody from the NCAA can go there. Some one guy down there is like, okay, now you give me those cowbells. Put them in this box right here. Admittedly, they can't do that. That would be an impossible task, and you'd probably get pelted in the face with cowbells. Nobody wants to spend their Saturday getting pelted in the face by cowbells. So Auburn said, okay, well then we're going to see how you like it. Have a taste of your own medicine, because nobody's been ringing cowbells at you when you're trying to play your plays. Now, admittedly, since it's a visiting game, you're not going to be as loud as the other people, but I guarantee you there'll be just as much, if not more, spirit behind them.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take the opposite end of things, and I even took to Twitter earlier to say this. Let's put away the taking the cowbells. Let them have the cowbells. We need to go there. We need to cheer on our team. If they want to ring cowbells, let them ring cowbells. That's their kind of thing. I think it's kind of a high school-esque thing to do. If that's something that they want to do in their 50,000 seat stadium, that's fine. Our 86,000 plus, we need shakers in our voices, so if they need artificial noisemakers, let them have those. We don't need to take those to Starkville.
It could be worse. It could be kazoos and thundersticks. Let's be honest.
I'll even give them kazoos and thundersticks. I mean, you're talking about 50,000 versus, we don't need artificial noisemakers at 86,000.
Have you ever heard thundersticks at a Pee Wee football game?
No, and
they're
I don't think
atrocious.
I want to.
You want 50,000 people from Mississippi hitting plastic sticks together?
I don't care.
I do. Because
it's Mississippi State. There's very little they do.
Unless they are lightsaber fighting with those sticks, I don't want to see them.
Gotcha. I gotcha. But, so that's where I sat on it. So Ben and I are a little split on that. And you can, if you want to chime in, at Second Takes and let us know, are you taking your cowbells or are you going to leave them at home?
Hashtag Bellgate.
Hashtag Bellgate. That'll be a good one. So let us know what you think about that. And I'm sure we'll comment on them on the next podcast. So, Ben, that kind of brings us down to our score predictions and how we think this one's going to go. I tell you what, I'll go first on this one since I've made you talk first on the rest of the questions. And
okay.
You know what? I think this is, just as I've already said, I think we come out throwing, taking advantage of that secondary that's a little suspect for Mississippi State. Our offensive line seems to have gelled pretty well. We get some protection for Nick Marshall. That loosens up the defense. We're able to run our whole offense in this game. And I do think that Dak maybe surprises us with a few big plays. And I have us going 35-20, a 15-point victory. And you know what? I think I sleep pretty well if that's the final score. So, Ben, how about you? Your score prediction this week?
I'm a little split on my prediction. Now, I have the same score for Auburn as you do, 35. However, being that it's an away game, I throw some variables in there. If they play like they did against LSU, I say 35-21. If it's a home game and it creates some struggles, I say 35-28. A little bit closer. It just depends. I think with the momentum, you're going to have to kill that momentum they've got early, because both teams have got momentum. It's basically who kills the momentum first, and then as long as Auburn executes like they do and going with their heads cool, after that, and then we're going to hear a lot less bells.
So it gets a lot quieter, you're thinking, the later we go into the game?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I'm with you. I think that's why I give them 20 points, and it's not quite as close, because, you know, this is the same Mississippi State team that had LSU on the ropes. I mean, had them dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And almost let LSU win.
Now, here's my thing with that. I would say that I think it's this weird thing with Brandon Harris where he's better at home than he is on the road. I think that's what led to that almost comeback with LSU.
Probably so, but then how do you explain UAB? I mean, you know, 300-and-something yards, I think, through the air for UAB. UAB is an improved team this year, but...
they are a pretty good team.
It's UAB.
It is UAB. I don't know. To be fair, Division II schools have been much tougher lately, I've noticed, with the exception of a few, but... I don't know. I would say, yeah, if their secondary is suspect, and we're throwing, and we keep throwing like we've been throwing the past week, then that's good. That's what will kill it quickly. Big plays will kill them quick.
Right.
They could dial it up on second down. You don't know.
Well, we could come out with four streaks down the field and just whoever's up.
And by second down, I mean the second down.
Yeah. Right. Well, guys, that's our score predictions, how we think Mississippi State's going to go, and hopefully we're right. I'm looking forward to, you know, being back here with you again next week, Ben, and celebrating an Auburn victory. Coming out of Starkville. So, again, we want to thank Wes Siner for being with us from AL.com and for his time and his input on recruiting and the LSU game. And make sure that you go and give him plenty of page views and, you know, blow his Twitter up and all that kind of good stuff. Give him some love as you listen to this. Some places that, before we get to that, Ben, anything you want to plug, shameless plugs, how people get a hold of you?
Nothing to plug right now. I've been pretty busy, to be honest with you. I will say the Arby's creme brulee shake is pretty decent. I had that for dinner because I make good decisions. Other than that, find me on Twitter at Common Weaver, KAMEN. I'm going to keep saying it until people understand what it means. So, I'm digging Smash Brothers. I think maybe that's why I haven't done much. I'm playing Smash Bros. Too much.
And as always, you can find us on War Eagle Sports Radio, our great sponsor that has us there. Podomatic, we're on there. iTunes, or if you have the TuneIn app. So if you can't find us, you're not trying.
We're spreading.
And as always, on Twitter, at Second Takes, secondtakespodcast@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an email. And we even have a website for you to check out, secondtakespodcast.wix.com/secondtakespodcast. Again, thank you guys so much. Whatever time of day that you're listening to this, thank you for being with us. Hopefully, again, we're celebrating a big win coming out of Starkville. And until next time, guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle.